I have a couple other WhatsApp messages I wanted to read. I hope that we are charging those cruise ships top dollar for using our facilities. We spend a lot of money on the cruise ship harbor, so this should be the time that we should get back to that. Peter, please ask the Trinidadian PM to give us the bounty of fish in exchange for housing the citizens. We need to get the price of these fish down from $20 a pack to $10 a pack. And this is a WhatsApp for when they're gone. It was funny that at times in this we could talk about fish. Peter, the call is so right. The last thing you want to encourage is this idea that people can come for whatever other people have in case we descend into chaos. Peter is wrong. Nobody is arguing about hoarding is good. There are other ways of making the point. The ad does not have to be so irresponsible. And one can argue that the person who is hoarding doesn't have to be so irresponsible either. Seriously, all that's going on and them calling in and, oh gosh, Peter, you really need to ignore these people sometimes. Thank you for making that point. Peter, the man is complaining about the ad. It totally went over his head and he's talking beer nonsense. Clearly, I do agree with you. The ad won't pull in, people are still buying. If some people had enough hand sanitizers, I'm going to put it on my hands, on the shoulders, and repeat the ad and said, Boo Boo is the name. Peter, the call is in La La Land. I agree with you 100%. The ad served its purpose. There are some people in Barbados who are one-dimensional. The gentleman is in La La Land. Let him go on. And we shall now go on and see if we can get a couple more people. Good morning, good afternoon, and welcome to the program. 434-1790.
Peter?
Yes, sir.
I don't know if I got enough time, got news coming up.
But you could stay around after.
But you know, it seems to me like when a moderator don't got no feeling for a caller. A caller picks up a phone.
Well, you said so.
But that's why I gave the reason now. A caller picks up a phone and hold a phone for over an hour. And when I continue to read WhatsApp, yes, somebody just put something WhatsApp and gone on about the business. You think that that is
But I give priority to the callers.
Huh?
I give priority to the callers.
Priority callers when a caller can hold on for the program for nearly 40, 50 minutes. And a WhatsApp man only put it on WhatsApp and he gone along.
But if you knew the amount, if you knew the amount of unread and unresponded to WhatsApps I have here, you will understand that they get a little bit, but I try to mix it up. But anyhow. Don't cuss me. I get enough cussing today. I said don't cuss me. Could there? I get enough of that today already.
You know I'm going to curse you. You know better than that. I only telling you what is reality. Now, could I go ahead.
You go ahead. And after the news, if necessary.
I want to make 4 points, but I have an important question to ask you.
Sure.
Now, if I sneeze and I don't have the virus and it goes on somebody else, it could affect the person?
No, sir.
That's all you want to
know.
Right. All of this is long talk. I wash your hands and you ain't got the virus.
But that's the assumption that you don't have it.
But nobody knows where it is. They don't know where you're catching it. Anyhow, I want to go into that debate because I think we had enough of that for the whole proposal.
Mm.
Now, I want to make an important point and then I get on to the benefits of this virus.
Well.
Now, right now, the pensioners are receiving a letter. Old people asking them put their account number, whether it be credit union or bank, so that they would not have to send out checks to them people. You can imagine where I live, somebody say an old lady with a walker heading towards the post office. You can tell me now that those old people have to head to either a bank or a credit union to get their pension. And you know that those old people are reserved people. Where they could go and
but you talked about this already.
Talking it for the first time.
But you and me talk. Are you sure you and me talk about this already?
No.
Wait, talk about it with somebody else?
No, it got to be somebody else. But what I am saying.
So they won't go in the post office with their check to cash it?
Right.
Right.
And they are very reserved. They like to keep the little
dollars. I know. And you understand that they want to go and cash it. But you also understand that they can as easily go to a bank or to a credit union, ATM, and take off the money.
Sometimes those people will have to have some person to go and get it changed for them, where they will have to disclose their account number. You are using a method that is exposing the poor people that they don't want. They're already getting robbed. When you give somebody your account number, you don't have no understanding what that person can do with your account.
All right, stick a pin. We're going to let you come back after the latest. Stetson is here for the latest news, which will start momentarily. So you just hang on a second, and I'm going to respond to you and give you the opportunity to also respond to me. And you had two other points that you said you wanted to make. So we take a break now for the latest, and we come back to you in 10 minutes for continuing. Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. Are you there, sir?
Yeah, so,
Peter. All right.
All right. Let me go ahead and
finish quickly. Let me just give you my response.
No, I finished that part, you know. Let me finish it, then you can respond.
But I thought you finished one more. You can say about
it. No. What I was telling you
is that people don't like to take checks. They like the checks to get the money in the hand.
I said that, but I didn't give you the reason. Now, when an old person get a check, what the old person could do, if they are unable to get to the post office, give someone their ID card and take it to the post office, and they could get their money where they could count it and keep it wherever they want to keep it in their house.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when that account now at the bank, they have to have the account number to give some person who they want joy or anything like that. And at the back of that, the penalty that is going to ensue on that old pensioner is that the bank charges an interest for keeping the money.
Yeah, but that's why I tell them to go to the credit union.
But the point is what I am saying, even
if... Okay, all right, sir, let's wrap up that point, because we're going to go over that forever. My response to that is very simple. There will come a point in time, sir. The United States government will not pay you by check.
Uh-huh.
Let me repeat that again. The United States government will not pay you by check. If you are to receive a grant or benefit from the federal government, I don't know what the states do, they will not pay you by check. They will credit an account somewhere. If you don't have an account to be credited, bust luck. You don't get any money. The point that I am making, and I have been making for a long time, National Insurance spends a ton of money writing checks, which could be saved if the National Insurance did direct credits. Direct credits are easier, they are faster, they are safer, and in many ways they are in the interest of the same old people. We have some people in Barbados who are convinced that the best way to get around is horse and buggy. If you feel the best way to get around is horse and buggy, all they can tell you is stand up and wait for the horse and buggy to come along. Because there will come a point where this whole question of what a person likes or prefers will be a non-issue. Because the only way you will be able to uplift benefits is by electronically. And sir, I can tell you that as sure as nightfall is there, it is coming. It is coming. A friend of mine left the Hilton in the 1990s because they introduced computers, and he said, I can't work in a way with computers. Can you imagine that? He took early retirement for that reason.
But
do you get the point I'm making, sir? So my thing is, you could jump high or low. That person will ultimately have to do business otherwise. What I would encourage that person to do is, while they are still in their own mental faculties, go to a credit union, get a taxi, and let the taxi person take them to a credit union, open an account at a credit union, get one with an ATM card, and when the months come, try and let somebody draw that money for them and bring it and give them. Okay?
Yeah, but you hear what
you're saying? Alternatively, when they go out to do supermarket shopping or whatever, they would have to use the car to do the supermarket shopping.
But you hear what you say, get a taxi. That's another extra cost.
Sir, the point of the matter is that right now, what you are saying is that you would prefer it to be that way. The fact is that the world is moving on. Okay? There is no horse and no buggy to ride any longer. So if you feel that you want to wait for the horse and buggy, then wait for it. The point is that you're going to wait.
The world is moving on, it just gets stuck.
Well, I can tell you that coming out of this, you will find that even more things will be electronic. Because the point that can be made is that a person who receives money electronically don't have to go and stand up in no line and don't have to practice no social distancing. They can start home and they will get the money. Next point, sir. Let me go on. Next point.
The benefits now of this virus. I heard this morning that the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Jerome Walker, is speaking in terms of getting medication from Cuba. You heard that?
I did not hear it, sir, but you were telling me.
Good. Yeah. But I am glad to hear that Cuba is being mentioned, because if you're going to get medication, and for a long time that the doctors that were trained in Cuba were not accepted in Barbados. So it is strange now that you're going to accept the medicine. Now, the other benefit out of this is the worker and our culture. Now, for the longest time, I was on this ear telling to the trade union movement that a worker who lose his week's work and is working on a three-day a week, that national insurance should pick up that, because if you had a car that was damaged, the insurance is going to pay you for the time it repair, if it is comprehensive insurance. And the insurance company, the national insurance company, has not done anything for the worker since the days of unemployment benefit with Tom Adams. And I'm glad to hear that national insurance now, on the advice of the Prime Minister, would be making it mandatory that after 3 days, and you didn't fulfill the five-day week that national insurance will pick it up. That is one of the pluses. And the other one, the other plus that I was on this air speaking for a long time, is food security. All of a sudden now, everybody now wants to deal with food security. And you can remember I was on this air complaining about the land that was offered to the University on food security. And up to this day, you haven't heard a word from KFL. You take that, they're not doing anything substantial apart from getting a lot of people degrees in sociology. And what are they doing with it? What is the profit of 100 students coming out with a degree in sociology and nothing at all at a time they know that the university should be upfront in agriculture, not a word coming from them? That is all they have to say. You could comment on that, Peter.
I'm not so anxious to comment on it. I would tell you this, though, and you will be the first to hear this confession of mine, because I am not too big to admit that I am sometimes wrong. One of the things this crisis has done, it has reevaluated my perception of food security. Okay, I'm not an agriculture man. Right?
Yeah, I know that.
You and I have had conversations about agriculture in the past. Honestly, this crisis has taught me that there is a greater benefit in food security than I once thought. Because I never thought the point would come where borders would be shut down in this way. And I have always argued that the best way to ensure food security is to ensure you have enough foreign exchange to buy the food that you need. Coming out of this crisis, I have reevaluated that position. So you'll be happy to know that I am closer to you now regarding this whole reason for having a local agricultural sector. I personally, before, I think you know, I would have been happy to have all hotels,
Golf courses,
they got all the farms. But no, it's a valid point. This and I think, you know, in crises like these, it's important that we learn lessons. And I think one of the lessons that has to be learned is the importance of food security, and that's being able to feed ourselves if necessary. So that's one point to you. The other point regarding the credit, the card and the check and whatnot, a lot of people have been WhatsApping and saying that apparently if you receive a direct credit, you get the money once a month. If you receive a check, you get the check twice a month, and it is possible that someone will charge you to cash a check. So the reality, sir, is that there are many good reasons for a person to move in that direction. So... One to you, one to me. How you like that?
All right, we talk. You gonna be on next week?
I will be on next week. Yes, yeah, I'll be on next week.
I left this one with you. Now I heard the president of the Democratic Labour Party continues to make statements. I want to ask a valid question: is the branches of the Democratic Labour Party functioning? And if the branches are not functioning, the General Council cannot function. And if therefore, because you got to bring the words that the feeling of the branches, if not, you'll be finding yourself like the president will put me in the Consumer Affairs president, who is a one-man show. So I want to ask a question of the vibrancy of the political party at this point in time as to whether or not she is speaking on her behalf or the party's behalf, because if the party is not functioning, the branches are functioning, I cannot see how she could be functioning as a president. That's all. We will deal with that next week.
Yeah, let's try to see if hopefully next week this issue would have settled somewhat. The rates of infection would start to go down, and then maybe we can start to talk about politics again, because as you know, I'm anxious to get back to the politics talk. A couple of comments online, and one email that I received that I wanted to read for you. What is an elderly landlord to do who can't evict a tenant due to rent arrears? Keeping in mind the rent is the only source of income for that person. One can appreciate the need for humanity, but at whose expense? What avenues of assistance can be sought? And this is a message from Claire, who is raising a reasonable point. It's all right to say you won't collect rent from someone, but at the same time, if the rent is the only source of income you have, then what are you supposed to do? A couple of things. One side of it is that my understanding is that if your place is mortgaged and the banks are giving you an ease on the mortgage, then perhaps you should also be able to pass on the ease in relation to the rent. The other side, of course, is that for some people, you don't really have that option. And my point is that if you evict someone, you do that hopefully in the full knowledge that you will likely get a paying tenant more easily. We are heading quickly towards a situation where landlords will not have that option because everybody catching. So if it is that you have a tenant who is running through a hard time and presents the potential to you that they may be able to catch themselves and pay your rent in the future, you have to decide, do you hedge your bets with that tenant, or alternatively, did you evict that person in the hope that you will find a tenant that will be able to pay you in the way that it once was? The reality is that things are not going to be where they were for a long time. So it might make a whole lot more sense to hold on to that tenant that has good intentions, because the fact is that you're probably not going to be able to find someone that is flush with cash in the way they once were. So everything changes, and that's pretty much the way it is. Good afternoon, Peter. Paying seniors through the bank is far easier than having to go home and standing a long line to go to a teller, credit union, ATM case, card case close. So you prefer, yeah, right. Paying tellers through the bank is a lot easier. Yeah, I agree. The thing is, it also gives you the option to do online transactions and whatnot if the person wants to shop online and have the stuff delivered. You know, that is something that can take. And then I also got a call when we were off from a medical person who was a bit concerned about the comment that was being made about the hospital, and said that the hospital's basic challenge is that they have to manage outpatient facilities. Inpatient facilities, you wouldn't need to observe the same level of social distancing, because one assumes that a person that presents with symptoms consistent with corona are sent not to the QEH, but are sent to a quarantine facility where all of the necessary precautions are exercised in relation to their care. In the instance of persons who are not the persons who are presenting with other illnesses, like if you break your foot or whatnot, once you are not displaying those symptoms, the presumption is that you're not, and there can be a greater level of intimacy. So, for example, if you go to the labor ward, one would assume that the bed space of which she speaks is irrelevant, because most people in there are not presumed to be suffering with coronavirus, and indeed, if they were, they would go straight to the other facility. The challenge the hospital has is protecting those who are inside with other illnesses from persons who may potentially have the virus. And that's the reason why they have amended the visiting hours, because the idea is you don't want people from outside coming in and bringing stuff with them, especially people who are not medically trained to use personal protective equipment and so on. So that's the decision that is being taken. But the idea that you should space beds 3 meters apart, I think is unfortunately, it's a bit silly to even raise that point. And I can't believe that we're actually discussing it. Down to brass tacks. Good morning. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Peter.
Yes, good afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm fine, my friend.
Good.
Good afternoon to our listeners and Mr. Stubb. Greetings to everybody.
Okay, all right.
Welcome.
Yes, sir.
Top priority. Mm-hmm. Citizens of this country is to contain this virus.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm aware of the hardship it will cause on citizens, generally, persons that are working in the tourist industry, taxi drivers, hotel workers, and it will come down to the other man. But our main priority is to contain this virus. And we could take an example from those gallant men and women who were on Robin Street, the Barber's Fire Service. I know a person might want to know, you know, what the fire service got to do with Bible. But let me explain. When the firemen go to a fire, their first priority is to contain that blaze if they get there early. But if they get there and the building or the structure is fully engulfed, then they're going to stack a stage to protect the surrounding buildings if there are any. We need to apply that same pattern to this virus. We will have to, if we could get to persons that who are the showing mild symptoms, to try to save them. And if they are fully affected, well, there's much and there's much you could do. Well, we work on the next stage to protect our citizens. This would be persons that who might be mild or don't show no symptoms at all. It's very simple. Mm-hmm. And as for those who are holding passports and COVID. 19 FET, etc. That is actually throwing gasoline to a burning
fan. That's actually somebody that charged COVID 19 FET?
No, I think it was happening overseas. I don't think it's in Barbados. Yeah. But bus calls, etc., you know, that is foolishness. You actually throwing fire. Sorry, you're actually throwing gasoline to already burning fire. Mm. So we need, brother, to contain this virus and keep the distances that the government obey the government, which are the superior authorities. If you are to stay 3 feet, you could even use your discretion and put it at 5. Mm-hmm. You understand? Because we want to protect each other. And the essential services, the utilities like light and power and flow and digital, you know, I would hope that allow us to still continue to get our services. Because any more lashes when this thing, you know, would be abused. So we would definitely just like to see that content. And persons, if you are honest with yourself and you can pay your bills, pay your bills. Yeah. If you can't pay your bills, seek the necessary help.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Mr. Wickham?
All right. Sounds reasonable to me.
Thank you very much, sir.
Okay, thanks a lot. Philip is writing, Peter, the government can still send cash debit cards that the U.S. government uses. They can be refilled every 2 weeks. The welfare system does that, and pensions can perhaps work in the same way. Yeah, I mean, cash cards are an option, but my thing is if you can get a cash card, why not just get a bank card or a credit union card and just done the talk? A lot of people are writing in and saying that, you know, they don't really understand where the debate is. I understand that if you tell a person who is in their 80s that they can continue to do business the way they always did, they will. If, however, that person is given a no option of saying this is how it's going to be, you'll be surprised how quickly a lot of them will get with the program, and they will find that it's probably an easier way to do business than they thought. Because there are still a lot of people receiving checks who could probably manage, and indeed who have bank accounts and bank cards, but they like this idea of collecting the money and the social interaction that it encourages and this type of thing. Down to Brass Stats, good afternoon. 4341790. Good afternoon, ma'am.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm well. What about yourself?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm blessed.
Okay, I called earlier, and I was holding on, but unfortunately got disconnected. I wanted to make a second point. I'm the lady that spoke in regards to the sanitation issue.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Right. So my second point was, and I want to make this abundantly clear to you, this is no political call, but what I wanted to say, a statement that was made by the leader of the opposition party, where she would have said that it is important to, instead of letting people be self-quarantined, do a mandatory quarantine. And I think I agree with that. Now, at the end of the day, we all have to use our judgment and our understanding. And basically, people are not following it up. They are not. They might not have been tested ill or anything to that effect, but later on down, they probably can. And in the meantime, they are passing it around. So that is how, and we have to model these other countries and see what took place in these countries and why, like Italy and those places, people are dying so fast. Mm-hmm. And because of that, it would be a good idea that if people are coming in, they're suspected cases or whatever the case may be, it would be very, very good idea to mandatory quarantine them to help.
Yeah, but that's what they're doing.
Some of them are being self-quarantined.
No, but the point is that you may not be mandatory able to quarantine everyone. If you do a self-quarantine as well, supervised, that can work. Oh. And to say that the lessons weren't learned, I think that unfortunately is not really what we're doing. What we're doing is that we're learning the lessons. And what Italy did not do is it did not lock down fast enough. My understanding is that the first outbreak was either it was a monastery or somewhere like that, where there were large numbers of people and there was this quote unquote super spreader. But the more important point was that I think that they went to full lockdown too slowly.
Okay.
The fact is that we have essentially been trying to encourage in a level of social distancing and whatnot, which I am hopeful we would not have to go to a full lockdown. But the point is that it's hard to push social distancing when people are constantly telling you reasons why it can't happen.
Well, you see,
so a woman who writes in saying on the WhatsApp chat, how can I social distance when I gotta use a minibus and there's always forced people in the minibus? What am I supposed to do?
Common sense. You see, we are responsible ourselves.
But that's my point. And I'm saying that in Italy, perhaps people did not exercise that level of common sense. And
right,
until in the same thing in England, they didn't exercise that level of common sense. The government took away the option. So
a youngster just passed here by my house to speak to me and hold up in the air and tell me he got his sanitizer. I said, don't care. I tell him, don't move from right there. I can hear you from here. Right. I don't come no closer to me. Wait, you got the virus? I said, yeah. You got it? He, you know. Well, I said, that's where you're supposed to act like you got it. Just came on the radio. I said, hey, it just came on the radio. Pretend that you have it. So if you have it, or you don't, if you have it, you don't want to spread it. And if you got it, you don't want to spread it. And they think that you got it. So if they see you and they think that you got it, and keep clear from you.
Yeah.
That's how I see it. And I agree with you, Peter. The next thing, I think the government is doing a wonderful job in terms of like trying the best. From what I have been looking at the international world, and from what I've seen this country has put things, measures in place in the simplest way that we can, early. And on top of it, the people that are calling in to talk about the government, that's their problem. If the government has their job to do, let the government do their job, and we as the people in the community have our job to do, and our job is to obey and exercise the greatest love of all. Loving yourself. So if you love yourself and you care about you, you will stay in your background and wait till this thing pass over. That's all I have to share with you. But you could, if you want to respond, I'll listen.
Yeah, no, ma'am, I'm saying regarding people's desire for transport and to move around and so on, I think you have an obvious choice, right? Do you need to leave the house, period? Do you need to go anywhere? If you don't need to go anywhere, don't go. If you feel that you have no choice but to go, and the minibus is the only option, you maintain as much distance as you can. You try not to come into contact with body fluids. And then after you finish, sanitize your hands and whatnot. Those are the things that you can do in the meantime. But the key thing for me is that people need to understand that in many instances, moving around and going out is not option, is not necessary, is not compulsory. And a lot of people that I see moving around, I believe, could start home. So that probably is the most significant and important thing the Prime Minister said in all of this. If you can start home, start home. And in many instances, there are people who can that don't, but believe that they can. They can't. And perhaps that's what needs to happen more frequently now. All right. All right, ma'am. Thank you so much for your call and for interacting. And we are on 434-1790. We have about 50 minutes remaining on the program. We go until 2. Myself and John Stout are in with you today. You can email me on peter.w.wakeham@gmail.com. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Peter.
Hey, Miss Undecided. How are you there?
I'm good.
My favorite caller. How are you?
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Peter? I hear you arguing with a caller.
Oh, Lord.
But that ad with that boo-boo should be off.
You don't like it, I know.
Ain't telling you about social distancing. If I see you in the supermarket with enough hand sanitizer, I can come and prop my hand for you, sure, and tell you the same thing that she said.
Okay.
And the same thing she said, yeah, I'm going to tell you.
I suppose I cough, what can happen?
Huh?
I suppose I cough, you ain't going to run?
Of course I will run.
So you,
I need to put something else there.
Okay.
Anyhow, the cruise ship that done with the harbor, they do not pay no berthing fee, Peter.
I don't know what's the arrangement, ma'am.
All right, let me read the arrangement for you. Ms. Cummings informed the tourist stakeholders in attendance that the port had waived berthing fees and had tax for the cruise ship. To ensure that the local business and attraction engage the crew members that remain on the ship. That means before, the crew people used to get off the ship and go and socialize at the restaurants.
Great.
And the restaurants have workers that have families at home too. You get it?
I got it, yeah.
Right, so they used to come off the boat and go and patronize in the restaurant.
Right.
And I think after, I believe after the Prime Minister banned them from coming off the ship, but before they was coming off and mixing with the locals.
Mm-hmm.
So we just can't say that the...
So listen, decided what you think should happen. You think it's a good or a bad call to ban the ships from the crew from coming off?
Do you think that... Yes, it's not a ban them. And
right, but then
going
sorry,
straight out to the airplane, let her go back home to the where they live.
No, but the point is that these are staff members on board the ships.
Staff members belong to Barbados.
Yeah.
Huh?
So you would like to ban them too?
I ask you if there's cruise ships that down there, thousands of them down by the harbor.
It's only 12.
So how many are the ships?
I don't know how many staff is on the ship, but there are quite a few thousand staff members, yes.
As she said, they used to have to help boost the restaurant. So when they come off the ship and boost the restaurant, they're mixing with local people.
Right, so you don't want that to happen.
But it was mixing with local people before, so you don't know how many people in here have.
Well, the point is that they stop now, they can't do it no more.
Yeah, but before they were mixing, that was
right, but nobody stopped.
Tell you.
So they stopped.
That way was trying to tell you before.
Which is fine, but they stopped. So
okay.
She has stopped them, so they can't come off the boats now. Does that make you happy? You would like the boats not to be there?
Yeah, I know. I'm happy that they ain't coming off now, but before they met some more, a lot of local people.
Right. You never meet anybody from off a boat?
Pardon me?
You never meet none of them?
Off a boat?
Yeah.
No.
Well, then.
Anyhow, another thing, Peter.
Yes, dear.
Another thing. Mm-hmm. With this Trinidad and the 34 Trinidads that here, tourists too. All borders open, so we expect.
They're not like tourists, they're in quarantine, no.
Yeah, but they came in as a tourist.
They came in transit.
They came in as a tourist because our borders open.
Right.
And I think you should go into the law books. And it's something that Bob put in there for those people. I don't have it, but a lady read it out on the other station this morning.
That what?
So it ain't got nothing to do with no humanitarian. It's something that Bob had in the law books.
That saying what?
I can't remember what it is, but she read it out. But okay. You need to go in the law books and read what...
I used to read a lot of things in the law books.
I read what he said, but it's in the law books about the Caribbean people.
All right, right? Well, fair enough.
But I ain't got no problem with that 34, because every open, we borders to all and cruise ship travelers. Because of us, I ain't had no problems with opening the borders to the Trini. So nobody should be pulling down the Prime Minister Rowley. He managed in that kind of way. And I understand he warned them before to limit the travel. So you can't be vexed with Minister Rowley.
All
right. That's all I have to say.
All right, Miss, I decided it's good. Be good otherwise. Well, you make sure you sanitize and take care of yourself so that you don't get any kind of infections coming your way. All right, you take care.